This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Tonight at 9, PBS premieres a three-part, six-hour television documentary called Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies. The series, which runs through Wednesday, provides a history of the disease and the attempts to treat it and cure it. The Charleston Area Medical Center is highlighted in the documentary segment airing Wednesday night. Here, CAMC oncologist Dr. Suzanne Cole speaks frankly yet gently to a patient who has run out of treatment options.
Right now, your body is in a situation where we've got to get you better before we could even think about doing more treatment, you know? But it's not a bad choice to sometimes say no to the chemotherapy and take what time that you have left and enjoy it and not be sick and coming back and forth.
I see the time coming. But the life you give me already is better. Thanks.
I just really want what is best for you. I want you to feel well for as long as possible. You know, I want you to be free of pain, and I don't want you to struggle at all. We're gonna just focus on trying to help you get stronger so that you can get out of the hospital.
Yeah, thanks. Okay.
And once you're home, we can talk about, you know, whether it makes sense to do any more treatment or not.
Right.
And if we decide not to do it, then I'm going to have hospice come and be with you, okay?
Okay.
You're doing good. You're hanging in there.
I don't know if everybody has the same opinion of what is a good death.
All right, sweetie, I'll check on you tomorrow.
But I think that it might be better for someone to maybe be in a place that they're comfortable, surrounded by people that they love. If you decide to pull back from treatment and go on hospice, then you have some say about how you die and where you die and who is with you. As oncologists, we may not be curing everybody, but we are helping people in a very important way.
You good right now?
Okay. Healing is not always eternal life. You know, healing is sometimes helping people have a good death. There's some kind of healing in that too.
Dr. Suzanne Cole says the documentary filmmakers would visit CAMC for days or a week at a time over the course of over 18 months to capture the work of the staff at the hospital's cancer center in Charleston. Now an oncologist at Mercy Hospital in Oklahoma City, Dr. Cole recalls the partnership that formed between the television documentary crew and the doctors, nurses, and patients. First, how did the producers of this documentary find you here in Charleston, West Virginia?
So I think that they were focusing on some of the major research institutions throughout the United States. I believe Memorial Sloan Kettering and Johns Hopkins were kind of prominent touchstones for them. But those major cancer centers have, you know, kind of their own perspective. They're very research-driven. And I think the reality is that something like 90% of the population who has cancer are not treated at major cancer centers across the United States. They're treated locally in their hometowns by local oncologists. And I think that the, you know, people who were looking at the documentary really wanted to tell that story of what it's like for the average American who maybe doesn't have, you know, a lot of money to travel and, you know, afford the expense of being somewhere else to receive treatment, you know, how that fares for them in the rest of the world.
The part about CAMC is in the third program, the first hour of the third program, and it is a very, very powerful 20-minute segment, I will tell you that. You are a very young doctor. How did you get into this line of work?
I was an internal medicine resident at Southwestern in Dallas, and in my third year of residency, I did a cancer rotation, and I just felt very drawn to the struggle of cancer patients, and I felt like I had the ability to speak to people in a real way about how I thought things were happening, and I enjoyed those conversations because I felt like, at least when I was in my training, there's a lot of avoidance of serious discussions about people who might die. And I just felt that I could have those conversations in a real way with people and hopefully impact them, you know, during their cancer treatment. And I just was drawn to the entire oncology field. From the day I get to work to the minute that I go home, I am engaged and kind of full on the whole day. And that's just how I wanted to live my life. And that's the kind of career I wanted to have.
You were working at Charleston Area Medical Center at the time. You're now in Oklahoma. Why did you leave?
So I took the job in West Virginia kind of as an adventure when I was coming out of fellowship. I wanted to work in a very big hospital system where the variety of cancer diagnosis was vast and the need for cancer doctors was great. And I kind of stumbled across this job, and I really was impressed by CAMC, and they are this safety net resource for the entire southern half of West Virginia. As a young oncologist, I think it's very important to get your breadth under you and get experience doing lots of different things and taking care of different tumor types. And there is something very, very special about the David Lee Cancer Center at CAMC. Every single employee that works there, it's like they were called to work in this field of cancer patients. And from the first person that you meet at the front desk to the person who draws your blood, to the nursing staff, to the physicians, and all of the support staff at the David Lee Cancer Center, these people were just the most amazing people to work with. And the reason that I left was really because I do have four children. My kids were growing up not knowing their grandparents, and we lived very far away from both my parents and my husband's parents. And so we decided to move back to get closer to our extended family.
West Virginia understands families.
Yes, and I think that. Yeah, everybody, I mean, I was heartbroken to leave, and it was very hard for me to close my practice, but really my patients and my colleagues just really could understand what it would be like to live across the country from your family. And I think we all need that support system. So I was very sad to leave. I miss people very, very deeply, and I'm happy to be in Oklahoma, but I have a soft spot in my heart, and probably always will, for my West Virginia colleagues and patients and, you know, all of you out there.
Dr. Suzanne Cole, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
The TV documentary Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies premieres tonight at 9 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. The portion that features Dr. Cole and CAMC airs Wednesday night. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:52. Light rain and drizzle this morning, becoming partly cloudy and breezy later this afternoon. Highs reaching the 50s today.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Goodwill Industries of the Kanawha Valley. You donate, we train, lives change. More information at goodwillkv.com.
Momentum continues to mount behind local food and local economic development efforts in the Northern Panhandle. Wheeling was one of the top picks in a national local foods, local places competition. As a result, local organizations are receiving technical assistance from multiple state and federal agencies to help capitalize on the growing demand for local foods. As Glynis Board reports, meetings with federal agency representatives began last week.
The Environmental Protection Agency initiated the National Local Food, Local Places program. The idea is to bring federal, regional, and state agencies together to help find and support existing local food and economic development efforts. Now, why would the EPA get in on the local movement? EPA policy analyst Melissa Kramer explains that one reason is to promote lifestyles that rely less heavily on automobiles and all their emissions. She says the local life could go a long way toward that end.
When you have a downtown that's vibrant, that people want to live in, that has all the services that people need, people have options for getting around that don't involve driving. You find that there are a lot of people who want to walk, who want to bike, and then that's healthier for them, it's healthier for the environment, and it's healthier for the economy because those dollars then are staying in the local businesses.
So folks came to Wheeling last week from Charleston, West Virginia, Durham, North Carolina, and Washington, D.C., representing EPA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Appalachian Regional Commission, the State Department of Highways, and the U.S. Department of Transportation. These partners met with local Wheeling groups to talk about how to promote a local food system and how to grow the local economy in general. It all started with a city tour from one of Wheeling's trolley buses.
So right now we're going to head into what's called Center Market, a historical marketplace that's still around, one of the oldest cast iron marketplaces in America, I believe.
That tour guide is the director of the nonprofit Reinvent Wheeling, Jake Daugherty. He heads up one of three organizations that joined together to apply for the federal Local Foods, Local Places grant. The other organizations include Grow Ohio Valley and the Wheeling National Heritage Area Foundation.
Of the over 90 applications just for the Appalachian region, of which eight were selected, Wheeling stood out among all of them.
Wilson Payne is a program analyst from the Appalachian Regional Commission who was involved in reviewing applications for the Local Foods, Local Places grant.
Wheeling is emblematic of what a lot of Appalachian towns are going through right now, which is searching for what their identity is going to be in this 21st century and how they can focus on the local aspect of building a local community identity.
Payne says there's a perfect storm in Wheeling, combining youthful leadership, local food and area revitalization efforts, and ongoing region-wide partnerships. He says the existing infrastructure in Wheeling, combined with an engaged community, made Wheeling an ideal candidate for technical assistance.
So this is our site here. We're just going to get out and look around. There's a lot of activity, as you can see here today.
The trolley stopped at a new inner-city greenhouse that's taken shape over the winter and is now being prepped for planting.
Is this considered fully developed now?
Literally, it's coming together as we speak. The skin went on this one yesterday or 2 days ago or 3 days ago. And
that's executive director of Grow Ohio Valley, Ken Peralta, who took a lot of questions during the tour of Wheeling. The Grow OV organization is already deeply engaged in laying groundwork for a local food system in the region. In addition to the greenhouse, Grow OV has built multiple community gardens and a small organic farm inside the city. They've also got wheels in motion, so to speak, for a mobile vegetable market that will serve several counties in the region starting in June. In addition to visiting some of these local food initiatives that are well on their way, federal and local partners visited a few areas in town that have been abandoned because they're too steep to develop residentially or commercially. One hillside is slated to be planted with fruit trees and berries. Another that overlooks all of downtown Wheeling and the Ohio Valley will be a green public space of some kind. Ideas of what, when, and how are being developed.
What we hope to come out of this is a work plan, very specific of what needs to be done and who needs to do it and how much it's going to cost. So that's kind of one track. And then my secret agenda is really very specific things with these federal partners that we need.
Peralta is hoping for help testing water, as well as engineering ideas or resources to help manage stormwater that flows off these steep hillsides. He and his colleagues are super enthusiastic about the raw resources that seem untapped all around Wheeling. And the enthusiasm is contagious. Jake Daugherty of Reinvent Wheeling says there's now a critical mass of people in and around Wheeling who are dedicated to turning their dying city into a thriving Appalachian town. He also admits that new industrial development in the region could be playing a role in bolstering the economy over the last 5 years, perhaps adding to that growing sense of hopefulness.
But what I think is really great, and what I think that we have learned most about our economy from the past, the conversations that we're having are not centered around a single industry. It's centered around the diversification of our economy.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Chuck Anzalevich. I'm Beth Voorhees.